Child, touch my soul with your cries, and the music will know what we found. I hear a hundred goodbyes, but today I hear only one sound. The moment we're living is now.
Today, we are talking about values, money, our kids, and Occupy Wall Street. And I have a very special political expert online with me, Wayne Levine. He loves talking politics, but we will get to Wayne in a moment. This is Bruce Salin from The Bruce Salin Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at Bruce at Bruce Salin. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N. And you can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin. And please go to BruceSalin.com and weigh in with your comments. There are now about 175 comments on the Occupy Wall Street column that I wrote this week. It is fascinating, the discourse that is taking place. Most of it quite intelligent. Just a few more quotes before we go to Wayne. From Beard and Pigtails, OWS comes down to class, welfare, and coveting. OWS comes down to class, welfare, and coveting. Last I read, thou shalt not covet. From Perry Winkle Years, I think you are right. All you can do is try to teach your kids that they shouldn't feel entitled and need to feel they earn their way somehow and need to work passionately at something. I certainly couldn't agree more there. Let's see what else we have to say before I bring, here's from Bill. The OWS crowd is clueless. The problem is not that we need more tax revenue from the 1% of top income earners. That's not going to help, even if you confiscate all of their money. We need at least some tax revenue from the 47% of households that currently pay no federal income tax. And we need a real reduction in spending at all levels of government. These folks should be in Washington, D.C., and all of the state capitals demanding fiscal responsibility. What a bizarre concept. And from Seth, this article starts from a number of faulty premises to criticisms of the Occupy movement, that all the protesters are spoiled rich kids just hanging out on their parents' dime, that they don't understand what they are really talking about, that they don't understand the value of hard work. There are others, but I won't address them all individually. How about just one, Seth? And from Lucretia, they are all there because they have no other way to fix a system they see as broken. They have no other tools to express their anger, fear, and frustration at the state of our economy and the disparity they perceive. My response, really, Lucretia? They have no other tools? Oh, well. Let's get to Wayne Levine, our political pundit of the day. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMenCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMenCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Yes, I suppose. And, of course, you know that I'm not interested at all in discussing politics. In fact, one of the reasons is that just the work that I do, helping men and gender issues, has become so politicized that it makes it difficult to actually do the work. So that's one of the reasons why I stay away from it.
Okay, well, why don't you just run with that? I mean, I'd like a little response, if you don't mind, just in general, to the general notion.
I'm with Seth, who bashed you in your column.
Okay, how's that? There good. Thank you. Okay, well, what about, I'll leave it.
Listen, the generalities, you know, the provocative nature of the column and the provocative nature of radio and politics and all that stuff, just it doesn't interest me. You know, these kids are out there, who knows, kids, people, they're feeling something, and I think that there's value in expressing. You know,
is there value in shutting down businesses, ruining public property and private property?
You know what? Those issues have to be handled, but the fact that they're gathering for whatever reasons is good. Now, the cities have to figure out how to handle it. The way Oakland's doing it, I don't think it's so great.
So, do you think it would be better in North Korea?
Well, like I said.
Or Iran?
The way that these discussions just like the way you're setting up the question, I find ridiculous, and that's why I don't talk politics.
Okay, so we agree?
Absolutely. It's your show. I absolutely agree with you, Bruce.
Okay, Wayne. I love you. You know that, and I appreciate your discretion. Shall we talk about whatever you would like to for the next few minutes?
It's just that the political, you know, when we get together, when the men get together to do our men's groups, we don't talk politics. It's so divisive, and especially I think the way that politics are handled and the way they discuss these days, it's just such a shouting match. And so what we focus on when we get together is just what we can do at home, what we could do with our families. And whatever they're going to do politically, they can talk about outside the room.
I'm absolutely with you. The irony, by the way, and not to be provocative, is of the nearly 200 comments on my blog already today, the vast majority, including those that disagree, other than the ones that are anonymous in their disagreement, the vast majority are intelligent, well-spoken, and civil. And that's really all that I'm eager to talk about regarding this, is the civility of how we discourse. And ironically, the lack of it is why you don't like to talk about it. So we are, once again, Wayne, as is usually the case, we're totally in agreement.
It's just fascinating how things happen as we get older.
Yes, it does. I am curious, though. You said the political nature of the men's work bothers you. So why don't you elaborate? That's interesting.
Well, gender has become so politicized in terms of what is politically correct to speak about. And so when I'll talk about the differences between men and women and what men need, I'm often criticized for being sexist. And in my mind, I'm sexist in that I'm definitely pointing out the differences between the sexes.
No, you're sexist in that you're pointing out truths, good and bad, about men and women.
I believe they're truths, but others don't.
Right.
And so it's difficult to talk about these things. And what happens is that people bring up their issues, their personal issues, their wounds. And so if we're in an environment where I can deal with the person who's angry with me for what they're hearing, I can usually get to a point where they understand that they completely misinterpreted what I'm saying.
Hmm.
But
meaning they brought their own politically correct prejudices to the discussion? Is that what you're saying?
That, or they just brought their childhood wounds. And what they're hearing is that I'm supporting men when men hurt them, whatever their story is. And so when I've been in those situations and I'm able to address whatever he or she is thinking, and they get my attention, all of a sudden the anger stops, the shouting stops, and they realize, oh, they weren't hearing me. They weren't understanding what it is I stand for and what we're trying to do.
Good, good, interesting. You know, I listened to a talk show host on the drive up to Santa Barbara today, as I often do, and he was also talking about speaking the truth, and yet finding that so many of his colleagues feel suppressed because of fear of political correct backlash, or the politically correct police, as I call them, and that he operates very much from just speaking the truth and is willing to take the heat because he understands exactly where he comes from and feels secure with it. And I imagine you do, too. I can't imagine, knowing you as well as I do, that you've ever held back out of those political fears in regards to gender issues, yet sometimes you find yourself frustrated by them.
Well, I'll speak my truth, but you have to be smart, too. I'm not provocative for provocative sake. I'm trying to build something. I'm trying to communicate. I'm trying to teach. If I'm being provocative, oftentimes it's just part of the nature of the subject matter, and we can deal with it. But I'm not interested in arguing. I don't argue. In fact, one of the tools in my book is don't argue in relationship to long-term relationships. So I don't think arguing does any good anywhere, because when we're arguing, no one's listening to each other.
Well, you've stated that many times, and it's such a challenge when you're in a emotionally charged relationship to not argue or be defensive, which, of course, is another of your suggestions that you just don't. What's your phrase? Don't be defensive. It's don't defend.
Express your feelings without defending.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's all hard. It's very difficult when you're in a relationship and you're sad and angry and feeling like you're not getting what you want and need. It's very difficult to act like a grown-up.
And to not be defensive. Wow, that's got to be really hard.
Yeah, and that's what's in the way of listening. I think you've commented on this. I mean, people just want to hear what they believe, especially in the political arena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so.
Right? You just want to talk to people who agree with you. And so where are we getting, right, when we're coming from that place? And the same thing goes with personal intimate relationships. When all we want to hear is what we believe, we're not going to hear what the other person needs.
Or what we need to hear.
Yes.
Very, very good. Believe it or not, we're already out of time. Where can our listeners find you, Wayne?
Enough of this ridiculous stuff.
Okay.
They can find me at bettermancoaching.com and get a copy of my book, which was not reviewed by so many papers because men were in fear of what their readers might feel about it. So talk about political issues.
Well, I've read it and reviewed it, I believe, or in some fashion, and it's well worth buying.
Yeah,
so
sure,
go
yeah.
to bettermencoaching.com. Thank you, Wayne, and thanks for putting up for my diversion today. We will be back with a teen rap and Pastor Drew Sams. Stay tuned.
1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, I ain't no time to wonder why. We're all gonna die. Now come on, Wall Street, don't be slow. I'm man, this is war, a go-go. There's plenty.